Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ashwini. I was muted. Sorry
okay.
about that. Here we are.
So our assignment from yesterday was to draw a picture of your emotions.
Uh-huh.
And here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Isota from Lima.
Hey, Isota. Home safe and sound.
Just one second, because I'm outside. I'm trying to do something with my phone. Just one second, eh? Can you hear me?
Yes, perfectly.
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm still in the blissed out post-visiting monk mood, you know. It's all gray and wintry here, but I see a blue sky and I woke up singing, oh, what a beautiful morning.
That's great. I always forget that you come to us in spring, summer, and when you go home, you're right back in winter again. So.
Yeah, even if our winter is warmer than your spring, I have to say. But
uh-huh.
It's gray.
Uh-huh.
So,
all right.
Let's not talk
emotion.
About the weather, though. Let's talk about emotion. Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
So, I did the assignment last night after 24 hours of airports and flights, and I was still so excited. So I draw all fireworks. And by the way, because the email said draw your emotions, but the workbook said draw your feelings, but I was too tired to really analyze the difference or to try to remember what it was. So I just draw fireworks.
Because that kind of covers them both, right?
Exactly.
That's how emotions feel.
Exactly. And then, well, this morning I was more rested and I was looking at it better, and I realized I have the conditioning has a belief. Let me say it differently. So I was especially fireworky last night because of the beautiful 2 weeks. But I'm always very firework, you know. Only that because it's part of the way energy flows through me, you know. And For many years, conditioning had tried to tell me that I should be quieter or less excitable, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really curious about that because you know the Zen story of the Zen master not batting an eye when something happens, you know. And I'm not like that. And I'm curious about this. What's the thing behind not batting an eye?
Uh-huh. So you have a lot of energy, and you tend to be high energy and excited about life.
Mm-hmm.
Does it seem to be content related, or is it just sort of a consistent state?
I think it's a consistent state, but sometimes it comes out, you know, like you know, if I drop something, very often I go like, because I dropped something, just because I have
uh-huh.
this thing coming out of me, not because I'm scared or worried about dropping something, you know, but like it happened
expressive.
In the kitchen, though. I was in the silent kitchen of the monastery, I dropped something, and I went like, you know.
So I think you have identified the answer to your question. And that is that what you want to be is present enough to be appropriate and not automatic.
Yes, you're right.
So you can have all of that energy. You can watch all that energy come up. And it, depending on where you are, you might say, or you might say nothing. Because you will be appropriate to the circumstances.
Yes, you know what dropped in? That going like, is like the same thing as scratching the itch when you meditate, you know?
Only that's much exactly more, right.
Only it's much that's easier not to scratch an inch than not to gasp, because gasping is almost automatical, but almost.
But both are dependent upon being present.
Exactly.
Right? Because most people are not aware when they reach up to scratch an itch. It's just there's no awareness of it. It's all happening underneath conscious awareness. So when we're there, then in meditation, we don't do that. And in fact, we train ourselves to be so present that if there's an itch and we're just out walking around, we know that it's itching, and it's a conscious choice to scratch or not to scratch.
Yes, and a walking meditation in the kitchen is like meditation, so I can just train myself to watch that. Yes,
that's
and all
right.
life is like that. Well, it will
that's
take
right.
a bit, but I'm super excited about it.
You're working on it.
Yeah. Oh, how
good.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thanks to everybody. I imagine everybody there sitting and listening. Thank you to everyone. Oh, everyone
thank
has
you.
Been so nice and so adorable. It's been a fantastic experience. Thank you, thank you, thank
good.
You.
Thank you, Ashoka. Good to hear from you.
Yes, so. Bye-bye.
Yes, so.
Thanks, Ashoka. That was just such a lit up conversation, Cherry. it's just so fascinating to do an awareness practice where the what we train ourselves in is to recognize what is below conscious awareness and what is done in presence. Because there's so much that's unexamined, and that's what's fascinating about it. It's not about the quality of the energy, because I project that some people have very high energy and some people have peaceful energy, but that's not the point. It's how much of it is conditioned.
Yes, and even to use the word peaceful instead of high energy and low energy.
Low energy,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it may not be peaceful, it could be depressed.
Yeah, or turbulent and not repressed. Yeah, exactly. I think I was just trying to refine that the quality of the energy that's the natural state of life may have different qualities. It's just our exploration of whether that manifestation is conditioned or not.
Yes. And the main essential point of the whole thing is to be present for it and to see, to explore what has remained below the level of conscious awareness. So things aren't going on that we don't know about.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's where the danger is.
Yes.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini. This is Kate in Australia.
Oh, hello, Kate.
Hi. Happy to be here. And great call so far. Definitely one of those people with a really high energy. And I, when I drew my emotions, that's the kind of initial part that I drew, that I really feel my emotions. And so it was reds and oranges and the, you know, firework kind of idea in abstraction. But then I came back to it and had this kind of blue grounding inside of it. So that same I feel kind of like that same thing that was just in conversation about, that it's a very high energy, and I feel things really big, or I express them really big, is maybe. And I've had an experience quite recently where my partner, I realized, was avoiding films that were emotional or had sad things in them, because I'm very affected in the watching of a film, and if it's sad, like, there, you're going to see that it's sad, and it's the same if it's happy. I'm going to be, like, I'll laugh so hard I'm crying, and if something sad happens in a film, I can literally be sobbing kind of in the middle of it. But I had to have this conversation that was like, it didn't occur to me that that's something I would ever want to avoid, or that someone else would want to avoid watching a film like that, so that I wouldn't cry like that, and have a conversation about that's I enjoy. That's the, you know, that word is hard to use, but I enjoy that. I would never avoid.
You enjoy your emotions.
Right, exactly. And I wouldn't avoid experiences that stop me, so that I don't kind of have that really sad feeling. And just a really, in the last couple months, a couple things have happened, and having a really strong emotional reaction, and just trying to really watch and be present, and that it's not, it doesn't have to be suffering just because it looks this way. And the something like crying is so conditioning, and conditioned world sends messages of how that's such a weakness, a show of weakness. And I just had it just drop in. I was walking down a street, and it really emotional, and it just dropped in that how strong I am, because despite all of the conditioning to try and stop me from being this way, all of the you can't cry, don't cry, this is a I don't want to see you cry, all of that
girls
that we
cry.
All received. Yeah.
Girls
from
cry.
Every
girls
every
are weak.
And yeah, it's a sign of weakness, it's a sign of not being able to handle a situation, it's a sign
out of control.
All of these things. And it was I just felt so strong in having the ability to feel this much and not have been kind of beaten down by that conditioning. And it was this really wonderful, and I was sad. It was hard. I was really upset. But also I felt really strong in that moment.
Well, it reminds me of the image that's often used for what you're describing, which is the difference between the willow tree and the oak tree.
Hmm.
So the willow tree just bends, like just whatever goes on, it just goes with it. Whereas the oak tree is very strong, it's very solid. But if the circumstances are rugged enough, it breaks, because it doesn't have any give. It doesn't have any flexibility.
Yeah, I love that.
And what I hear you saying that you've realized about yourself is that ability to be all right with whatever you feel, to be all right with all emotions, you don't actually have to avoid anything in life, because you know you can feel it, whatever it is, and come out the other side actually stronger for having had the experience.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, as you were talking, how much in those moments energy goes into trying to stop feeling that way, or to not feel that way, or to not show how you're feeling, and how much it takes away. You're pouring your energy into kind of trying to stop this thing from happening, and what you lose in that experience I'm stopping this versus I'm experiencing this.
Yes.
This is what this feels like and looks like.
Yeah, and other people, as you started out, are uncomfortable with that, because the conditioning is very strong. If you're really sad, then we're all meant to hop to and get you out of that experience, because we don't want you to be sad, because sad is suffering, and we don't want you to suffer. so we want you to have a different life experience. Well, or also if you laugh too much. I recently, I haven't met him yet, but he's a partner of somebody that I've recently met. And what he's criticized for, his worst quality, is that he laughs too loud. And I thought, wow, okay, in the scheme of things, I think I'm going to be okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I know exactly. It's disruptive, and I think it goes also kind of with what you were saying before, appropriate and not absent-minded.
Well,
I guess that's not the word you used, but...
But that is a piece of it, isn't it? That if you are in, depending on the circumstances, it might not be appropriate to laugh as loudly as you would like to laugh. And it might not be appropriate to begin to sob. And so we walk outside. You know, it's right. We have a relationship with ourselves that we know the difference between so I talk about this with relationships, right? So you and your partner, when you're first together, everything has to be handled right now because what was that look and what was it? Okay, but you've been together for a few years, and it's like, it's fine. We'll talk about it later. We don't need to be immersed in every single thing that arises all the time. There's a level of trust and well-being.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I also wonder, too, about that idea of kind of appropriateness, having awareness of how your emotional reactions affect those around you. So something upsetting is happening and you're having a very strong emotional reaction, but there's someone in the room who not only is also having a strong upsetting reaction, but also feels responsible for you, which you can't necessarily, you know, they need to deal with that themselves, but having awareness around creating space to let them have their emotions and for you to have your emotions. So maybe that does mean stepping outside so you can feel without that kind of responsibility.
Yes.
Relationship.
Yeah. And again, one of my favorite moments in a workshop was a woman who was in the workshop whom I had not spent a lot of time with, and she was just crying and crying and crying. And I was aware that she was crying and crying, and she was speaking about something, and she looked at me and did this kind of, you know, I'm okay. And she said, I'm just a really good crier. And it was wonderful. I mean, you know, everybody in the room who was on your partner's side of the continuum could just relax. You know, this is just I'm emotive. I cry well. And I've subsequently found out she's a really good laugher too. And so there is that appropriate, there's a sensitivity, and there's not a, you know, there's a way that we can let other people know we're okay. And, you know, with your partner, if it's going to be that kind of a movie, maybe you go with somebody else. Or maybe you go by yourself so that you can have your own experience. You know, we don't have to do everything together.
Right.
All right. Exactly. Well, it's good to hear from you.
Oh, it's great to connect.
Yeah. So let us know how all this goes, huh?
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Kate.
Thanks, Kate. You know, Sherry, that I just, in that conversation, I heard the levels of mastery of practice, right? That the first place is to become aware of what it is that is going on for me. Then there's such an unconditional acceptance of being able to be with that unconditionally without judgment and you know, just simply with what is. And then that ability allows us be aware of other people's emotional experiences, which they can then are allowed to have, right? Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with me. And so then we'll reach a level of of what's compassionate for all, where there's an awareness of everything. So it's, there's no deprivation or denial. There's a life way of it all being held in conscious, compassionate awareness.
Yes. Yeah. And we're not in any hurry to get anywhere, right?
Right. Yeah.
This is awareness practice. So we're practicing being aware of all of these subtleties.
And for life to drop in all of those ways in which to be with it that you're talking about, that the conditioned notion that everything has to be done together, or my experience is at the expense of yours, or, mm-hmm. you know, we both have to have those and that doesn't fit in the same equation and therefore we can't be together, or all of those implications when everything mm-hmm. is within the conditioned system starts to fall away when we have that larger awareness of everything is all right. Everything can be appropriate. It's done with conscious intention rather than yes. conditioned reactions, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Conscious intention, conscious attention rather mm-hmm. than conditioned reaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And as you said, that's why it's mastery, because we practice with all of those levels of facilitation.
Yes. Yes. We practice with ourselves mm-hmm. and then we begin to practice with one another.
Yeah. And yeah. the situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right.
And the way we're just laying that out and our friends this morning, there is an excitement and an enthusiasm. So instead of dreading emotion the way so many of us have been conditioned to do, dread it, avoid it, fear it, it's exciting. It's really mm-hmm. interesting to see mm-hmm. to see how all this works.
Mm-hmm. Now all these swirls yeah. of energy.
Yeah.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Karen from North Carolina.
Well, hello, Karen.
Hi. I was I was sitting there going, me, 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 and here you are.
We heard you.
Oh, yes. So happy to be here. So my drawing was a huge, big rainbow. You know, all the colors, all the nuances. And it's sort of reflecting what we've looked at earlier this year, that, you know, anything that arises is okay.
Yes. Yes, it must be okay because it's here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
This call is just so fantastic. You know, one of the things I look at a lot is how conditioning wants to interpret or tries to interpret the sensations that are arising, and training myself over the years to realize that that doesn't mean anything at all, because its interpretation, well, it's just a rabbit hole.
That's perfect image for it. Anytime we let conditioned mind be in charge of meaning and interpretation, we are in trouble.
Yes, yes. And, you know, mm-hmm. I noticed in my feelings, you know, in a day's time, the whole range of what's possible is going on.
Yes. And you can feel yourself fully alive. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Because feeling, if you know, we're sentient beings. We're meant to feel. And conditioning would just put a lid on that and say, no, you can only feel certain things and only so much of those, and everything else is wrong. And to realize, no, this is life living me. This is what it feels like to be lived by the intelligence animating all. Why would I want to miss any of that?
Mm-hmm. And given the enneotype that I tend to lean on, or whatever you want to say about that, you know, I've spent a lifetime of going with conditioning numbing. Not a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
quite a bit of time before practice, and then working with that, you know, and opening up to wanting to experience whatever, not turning away from what's arising.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Because being numbed to life is not a happy proposition.
No. Well, I'm just overwhelmed. Not overwhelmed. My heart is just so full, and conditioning's
rainbowish.
I'm just so grateful, and I think the other thing about, you know, conditioning's interpretations is, I think the challenging one for me is when there is the low energy going on. Is then it conditioning interprets that as wanting to change it, you know, what the preference would be more towards higher energy. But it's really exciting to work with that. And
it's funny, isn't it,
yeah.
Karen, because you're low energy, and conditioning would say you should be high energy so that we can repress you.
Yeah.
So that there's a lot of energy to numb. You think, well, no. What is the point of that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
How do I
and
just
then
have
another,
the energy I have?
Yeah.
Another?
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing I saw during the conversation was that the whatever conditioning is saying that I need to avoid is exactly where I need to go into.
Yes. Yes.
And
yes.
It happens really quickly, you know, that the reaction of pulling back or of turning away from it. But over the years, I've realized that, you know, that's the place to, you know, hang in there and use that as a signal to go with it.
Yeah, that's where you want to be. That's where the juice is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's, to me, that's the, you know, I feel silly saying this. Well, I don't know why. That's also conditioning talking. That's the path to nirvana.
Yes. Yes. Life.
Whatever that is.
Well, yes, life. So
pure life.
Undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
All consciousness, yeah.
Right? And so pure undisturbed consciousness, if we're listening to ego trying to control everything all the time, I think it's going to be tricky to get to pure undisturbed consciousness because ego is trying to disturb it all the time.
Yes, yes, and that's why listening to recordings is so important.
Liberating.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's couldn't do without that.
Couldn't do without that because it's a constant encouragement to be with what is, be here, be present, this here now, right now, not a conversation, breathing, here, in the body, feet on the ground, this.
This.
Mm-hmm.
And
this path to enlightenment, this path to nirvana.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Karen.
All right. Take good care. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Karen. Sherry, we have 2 more minutes. Shall we squeeze in another caller?
Well, we could certainly try.
Well, here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura from San Diego.
Hey, Laura. Try not to be fascinating, okay?
I'll be really quick. I'm so, so grateful for all of this and just listening. And, I think it's a great, such a great support, and I'm super grateful. And I am behind on the assignments, and that is that's an exact replication of what happens in my life, and I'm really practicing. So I'm committed to after this call, I have a 30-minute break, so I'm going to sit down and not from urgency but from presence show up for 30 minutes of assignments. So whatever that is.
Yes, and now I'm not going to encourage anybody in this direction, okay? So don't anybody take it as encouragement. But one of the things that I've noticed in people talking about that happening is that they'll get behind for a particular chunk of assignments that tend to have a fairly strong relationship one to the other. And then when they catch up all at once, they kind of see things they might not have seen if they were doing them sequentially. So maybe it's a good thing.
You mean we could trust life?
Well, yeah, maybe we could trust life that it's what a concept, that it's unfolding perfectly for us.
Yeah.
Instead of going down the road of that we talk about all the time, of course, well, you're so far behind and there's not going to be anything, you know, 30 minutes, what is that? You're not going to catch up. Why don't you just quit?
Right. And then I do the assignments from a place of conditioning telling me to catch up rather than being present to what there is to see.
Yeah. Just put something on the paper, okay? You don't need colors. Just put something on the paper. Yeah. Check that box.
Yep. Love it.
Yeah.
Thank you both. I'm so happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. Great to hear from you. Enjoy your 30 minutes.
I will.
Then just go on enjoying, okay? But just that. All right. Thanks, Laura.
Bye.
Thanks, Laura.
Bye-bye.
And that brings us to the end of the show, Sherry. And so the assignment for today is, what does your drawing tell you about how you see yourself emotionally? Record and listen.
Oh, that's a very good question, isn't it? I mean, that we could apply that to that question could be applied to a lot of life. What does that tell you about how you see yourself? All right. Well, thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry. It's been wonderful as usual, and talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, everybody. Go happy.